Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Betty Boo still doing the do, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. A big win for Wales and England face Brazil tomorrow. It's Friday, 22nd of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Russell.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Vidushan Hataraja.
It's Friday, everybody. It's good to have you with us. And we've got Andy, Vish and Jim, as if you didn't know by now. You heard them say their names with me, Marcus Christopher Speller.
King of the weekend.
I am indeed.
The weekend DILF himself.
DILF? Okay.
You can work that out.
Yeah. I was just surprised to hear such coarse language.
So you are now. You're double verified DILF.
See, even he wasn't sure of that one.
Double DILF.
Yeah. You should never double DILF.
Yeah, that's true. It's international break time. Come on. Thank goodness we've made it. I've had it up to here with club football. There's too much admin in club football, I find. You don't get any of this at international football. But Leicester City have fallen foul of it as well. The boffins are after them now. So thank goodness. Good luck to everybody involved in that, and may the right side of justice win. Anyway, we hope you enjoyed yesterday's special release of Ramble Uncut and Jim's story about the worst cab driver ever. If you want more of that kind of stuff every Wednesday, then sign up to our Patreon for just $5 a month. You'll also get ad-free versions of every single episode of The Ramble on the Continent and Upfront, and access to the Discord, of course. Just get over to patreon.com/afootballramble. We start with Wales' big win against Finland. Andy Brassel, they knew you were coming. They put on a show for you.
Didn't they just? Didn't they just? It was
4-1, of course.
Yeah, and but it had a weird sort of rehearsal feel to it.
Really?
Because, of course, you know that they need to keep a bit in the tank for Poland.
And it was always going to be Poland.
Yeah, and not that they were assuming a win or anything like that. You know, the atmosphere was still... I always find it quite unusual when you go to a Wales game at Cardiff City, because it's a really great experience. Mm-hmm. But you look at the stadium from the outside and it doesn't feel like an inspiring sporting arena. And then you get in there and it fills and it's like, oh my God. Really? It's amazing. It's like 1,000 times better them when they play at the Millennium
Ken,
Stadium.
I think they were all quiet and they were going, hang on, he'll be here in a minute. And then when he turned up, right!
Let's sing.
Exactly.
They do sing better than any other fans in international football. It's remarkable.
They look like a big, fun club that you really want to be a part of, don't they? Like,
yes.
There's a proper culture has grown around the travelling fans of Wales at international tournaments. And that's such a... such a brilliant thing.
Yeah, I do agree with that. What you're right to say about them singing. I did witness them play Portugal in Euro 2016 semi-final. Mm. And I think the Portuguese fans are quite underrated when it comes to international football with their singing and their chanting and their fist pumping.
Interesting.
It's unlike you to shit on Portugal there, Andy.
Well, I don't think he did.
Well, I think he did.
Okay.
Run with me with this.
Okay. Are you going to apologise when you go back there?
Because we'll make sure they know what you said.
Yeah.
Once I've got to the bottom of that lake and got my dictaphone back so I can record an apology, I will.
There we go.
Yes, I will.
Well, Wales got a big win. So did Portugal last night, by the way. But what a start it was.
It was a lovely
finish from Brooks.
It was amazing. The way he readjusted in midair to finish that.
Beautiful.
But having said that, the singing's still going. Finland are just like catching their breath after that. Mm-hmm. And Lukas Radetzky, who, bear in mind, is the goalkeeper for the Bundesliga leaders, the team who are going to win the Bundesliga. When he pushes out that shot from Harry Wilson...
You thought that's poor.
The thing is, Wilson has got an incredible left foot, but he's not really panelled that. And Radetzky pushes it out to pretty much the only place where Wales can score.
But he's not going to hold it, though, is he? And if he pushes it, you know, as if more kind of in a 180-degree angle, then it's right across the face of the
goal. No, but if he pushes it back where it came from or in the other direction, there's no other Wales player in sight.
Is that not down to the pace of the move, though?
I was going to say.
Because it was quite slick and it felt like everything that Finland were doing defensively was reactive to what Wales were doing.
Yeah, after 3 minutes.
I
mean, obviously that defined the game, the fact that they scored really early in the first half and really early in the second half. But that idea of it being a sort of rehearsal about being a way to work out kinks. It was funny because, as I say, the atmosphere is extraordinary at some moments. At other moments, it dipped a little bit as if minds were elsewhere. And Wales defended in the first half. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think they're a much better team than they were at the last World Cup.
Very much agreed.
Mm-hmm. Much better.
Yeah, they got rid of that Gareth
really
Bale.
Good last night.
Yeah.
Holding them back, wasn't he, if anything?
Towards the end,
Jim, I actually agree with him, which is such a shame to say that, about...
The best British player ever.
Yeah.
I see exactly what you're saying, but naturally, whenever these things come about, other players come to the fore because they just have to play a bit differently. You know, we see it with Spurs, for example, in the way that Kane leaves and suddenly you feel like, oh, God, you know, everyone's scoring goals here. Because you have to. Like, everyone has to step up.
No, but I think but the difference was is that at the end of Gareth Bale's career...
It was really quite sad. Yeah. But without Bale, I don't think Harry Wilson, you know, Brooks to an extent, obviously he came back from cancer, you know, lymphoma, someone like Dan James, even Neco Williams to a point, he kind of gave him a bit of space to, you know, work it all out. Probably Ampadu is another good example of this.
I think the
basically took the pressure off them to a point, didn't
it? But the other side of that is the fact that if you're Wales, you have to be impeccable off the ball.
Particularly
at a major tournament. And you can't do that with Bale. And to be honest, probably Aaron Ramsey in the team anymore.
There's a bit of luck involved, in a sense, of the timing of it all, which is that obviously the players that were going to, you know, take the place of Bale and Ramsey, and players are a little bit more limited, let's be honest, are at least younger, you know, like all of these players have got their best years ahead of them now.
Mm-hmm. They've always had a bit of a youthful exuberance about the teams under Page and maybe say before. I mean, we should apologise to Wales fans because we're already talking about Bale and so on. I mean, he's long gone now, actually, really. It's not exactly the first game without him. But it's a brilliant win. The aforementioned Williams scored the pick of the goals. And we are going to mention Gareth Bale just for a moment because I think this is a good omen. He scored his free kick in that exact same spot 2 years ago when Wales beat Austria at the same stage of the playoffs.
Yeah. And also, Dan James for that fourth goal.
Oh, come on.
Covered more ground than Gareth Bale did in his last two internationals.
Just two. I would go maybe six internationals. That was brilliant.
I love it. It's the most Dan James goal possible.
Only he could have scored that. Yeah, because no other forward would think, I'm not going to press. We're 3-1 up.
Yeah.
Right? The defender's got the ball. He's in his own half. There is no danger here. And Dan James is going,
Maybe just a little. I could get it. This guy's not seen my party trick.
It was the way the defender looks over his right shoulder, sees James about 20 yards away.
Yeah, he's like, it's okay.
Looks back to the keeper, looks around again. He's like, oh, he's not there because he's on his other side.
it's like a horror movie, isn't it?
It was absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Well, maybe Wales were so pumped for this game because of Reece Iffens' pre-match team talk. Did you see this, Jack?
I did. Rousing.
Yeah, the famous actor, of course, in... I can only think of Notting Hill.
He's in lots of things.
He is in lots of things.
Yeah, Spider-Man.
He's in the Importance of Being Idle, the Oasis video. So that's probably the finest achievement.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Of his career.
And he, unlike in Notting Hill, he wasn't just in his pants.
That's right. But his speech, I think it's, you know, a number of people would have seen this.
I think it would have been more rousing if he'd just been in his pants.
Yeah, but, oh, no, if he starts it fully clothed.
Yes!
And,
and by the end.
Every pause. Yeah. It's brilliant. You should seek it out. But every pause, he just takes off an item of clothing.
But then, of course, and he ends with just his pants on because there would be slight relief, I think, from the players. But, you know, it's a very rousing as opposed to a rousing speech.
Bit of both.
And, well, I would say so. I watched that speech and I was like, I want to play for Wales. Some might say it was slightly over the top with some of the historical references. I'm not sure. I very much enjoyed it. But I do think that they've gone big
for early,
for the semi-final.
They've already had Michael Sheen.
They had, during the World Cup, that was.
But that's what I mean. It's, you know, you're going to use him again? Maybe not.
So well, what are you saying, Tom Jones for the final?
Now you're talking.
John Cale to just say nothing for 4 hours.
I think Tommy Jones to just sit there and they go, right, Tom, we are kicking off in 10 minutes. You're going to have to say something. Ooh. And then he goes, sex bomb, sex bomb. No, Tom, this is a...
Anthony Hopkins?
No, come on.
Surely that's your headliner.
I reckon you've got to keep... You've got to keep a Hopkins in the chamber for the knockout stages, don't you?
Keep him in the chamber with a mask on as well.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
There's a difference between motivation and terror, I think.
Oh,
what's he doing? Fucking eat you if you don't win this.
He's having a bowl of spaghetti.
You have Hopkins do a spoken word verse and Tom Jones belt out a chorus.
Love it.
Oh.
It's an inspiring sort of musical.
What about Robbie Savage?
What about him?
Yeah. Yeah. Hello, Savage.
Have and we... Then,
and leave him to Anthony.
Have they done Charlotte Church yet, or is she more of a rugby person?
Ah, good point.
I think she's very patriotic, so they should get her involved.
Right, Jim.
That's what I think.
An oddly sort of politician type answer where it wasn't necessary.
I'm up for casting this ongoing pre-match inspirational talk.
I suppose
we should have it as well.
The thing is, if you go too high, then naturally the fall when things don't go well is you know quite stark. So maybe if they do get, you know, if they don't make it through next week or if they do disappoint in the Euros, they should bring Gareth Bale back to come in and be like, look, it's all right, isn't it? Mm. There's always the next one.
Golf club in hand.
Yeah. Let's have 18 holes. Yeah. Forget about it.
Why has Craig Bellamy got a golf club?
Like I said, I always felt that kind of, like 75% in. Like it was a great night. It was a good performance that they know could do with a little bit of tweaking. Because if they defend like they did in the first half, they're in trouble.
But
they tightened that up at half time. You got a sense that the wing backs had more of a sense of their defensive responsibility. So as well as being a really good occasion that was a rehearsal for a great occasion, it was a pretty good performance, which was a rehearsal for the sort of performance that they probably think they will need to get there.
Yes. Well, of course, they do play Poland on Tuesday.
Who they are better than, by the way.
Yes, and they're at home, of course, Wales.
Yeah, and that makes a massive difference.
Which we would think would make a massive old difference. So, yes. Elsewhere in the playoffs last night, Luxembourg were away to Georgia. Now, they lost the game 2-0. There was an extraordinary passage of play, which lasted for about 4 minutes. Which, if you haven't seen, try and seek it out. I think you'll find it on Twitter, probably. Where Georgia are one goal up, and there's a ball over the top, their man runs onto it, and is fouled. And it's always inside the box or outside the box. And apparently a VAR check is being conducted. But it's not given, and the game continues. Luxembourg go up the other end and equalise, and celebrate as if they've just scored a last-minute winner. Okay, but fine, that's up. That's, you know, they celebrate how they want. So they go absolutely crazy. One all, you know, huge goal for them. And then that sort of begins to calm down. And because a few minutes has gone past. And then the referee suddenly goes, hang on, I'm getting called in the ear here. Goes over to the screen, disallows the Luxembourg goal. And it's a question of, is it a penalty or is it not? It's deemed outside the box, but it's a straight red card. So Luxembourg go from being in a position where they think, right, one all, we're back into it, to nay down to 10 men, and that's you're a goal down, and that's probably the game up, which of course it would subsequently be.
Gutting.
I mean, just...
Yeah.
I think there has to be, if there's a VAR check like that, And it's it looks like a very, very tricky one to call. You've surely just got to stop the game.
It's like a far more extensive version of when a really late flag comes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you've got to blow the whistle. You've got to say, hang on a minute, because that passage of place, it's just the emotions.
Yeah. You kind of need counselling after that, don't you?
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
And it was made all the worse by the fact that it was raining. something about the rain added to it.
Rainy night in Georgia, etc.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Anyway, let's get away from those playoffs and let's talk about the friendlies. Or as my old manager used to say, I don't believe in friendlies. It's a challenge match. So England face Brazil in a challenge match tomorrow evening at Wembley at 7. England,
I do prefer that. He's got something there.
Yeah, he thought it was some psychological thing that us 10-year-olds would respond to. My goodness, we did, Jim. We never lost one.
Yeah, you are a very aggressive, competitive man now, aren't you?
Apparently so. England are unbeaten in their last three meetings with Brazil, the most recent one being a 0-0 draw at Wembley. That was ahead of the 2018 World Cup. I was there. It was a rather boring game.
It.
Yes. So I'm hoping tomorrow is a better game. Jim, you sort of said England should have someone doing pre-match team talks. Who would you fancy?
Matt Berry, off the top of my head.
Yep.
Yeah, you're going to have to... Some people might not know who Matt Berry is.
Matt Berry is a comic actor with a very, very silly voice, has a lot of presence, very sort of kind of camp and vampish.
Can you do a little impression?
Not really.
I've heard you do an impression and it's possible.
I don't know that...
Go on, England, get out there and do it.
That's more... Dempsey, that isn't it? That's more Paul Dempo Dempsey.
That was. Do you know what that was?
Berry,
that was a bit.
That's good. That
what about
good.
The guy who does X Factor voiceovers?
Peter Dixon.
Yeah,
yeah, him.
Get out there, England.
Actually, that would be good.
I tell you who would be good. Tom Skinner.
Right, lads, you're representing the free lines. Yeah.
No, I can see that happening, and I'd hate it.
Yeah.
I'd hate that concept.
Get out there, win the game for us, a bosh.
Can I put forward Gemma Collins?
Nope.
Yeah, the only time I've ever seen Ben White look happy was in a video with Gemma Collins.
He chased after her, didn't he?
Yeah, tells you a lot about the star power that she has.
All right, Steve
I would
Holland.
Love that. And then maybe she'd fall down a hole like she did at that award ceremony.
Okay. Well, I think we're all agreed now England shouldn't have a pre-match team talk by anyone
it's
other
divisive.
Than
Gareth Southgate. Even we can't agree.
Yeah, well... Yeah. Should we get this out of the way then? Let's do it. The New England kit. The St George's cross has had a playful update, according to Nike. You've seen this on the back of the collar of I think both shirts, but the one in sort of that was on question on social media was the home shirt in particular. The horizontal line of the cross is not its usual red; it's a mixture of navy, light blue, and a sort of a pinky, sort of mauvey kind of colour. This has just caused everybody to it's caused a number of people to have a bit of a ding-dong about this. I like the New England kits. I particularly like the away kit.
I think the away kit's the nicest England kit in years, and it's a shame that this is what's being spoken about instead of that, because
yes.
I think it's brilliant.
But I think it's also a shame that a huge company decided to give a nation's flag a playful update. Now, the FA did agree to this. You know, and I can understand why people are a bit like, hang on, you shouldn't mess with a country's
it's a really odd
flag.
Choice.
It's a strange thing to do. I don't think they should have done it. I haven't lost a wink of sleep, you'll be pleased to know about this. And I suspect that that is probably what most people's opinions are about this.
Yeah.
But it's
obviously
it's attracted some dickheads.
It has, from like the usual suspects.
You not being one of them, Jim.
Thank you. The sort of vocal minorities that are sort of, you know, are kind of like... the Pied Pipers to a lot of angry people that don't really think too deeply themselves, are saying it's virtue signalling, but without really being able to identify the virtue that's being signalled. Because this isn't a flag of anything, is it? It's just different colours in the shape of the St George's flag. And the 2011 England kit had different coloured crosses on it as well, you may remember, on the shoulders as well. So we've seen this happen before. And I just...
The reason Nike gave is because it was a nod. They said on the sleeve trims it was a nod to the to the England 1966 training kit.
Yeah, which is very specific.
It is.
And it's also a bit naff.
Yeah, yeah.
It is naff.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But I think a lot of design choices are made with these sort of things in mind. And you never realise that, as a sort of, you know, consumer.
On the away kit with the kind of the panels down the side, there's a splash of colour there.
Yeah.
And it was apparently a nod to the fashionistas and those who kind of... And it's just
that's
like...
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, don't explain it. Just say, well, we fancied just jazzing it up a bit.
Yeah. I quite like it having a point.
Oh, I don't mind that as well.
But yeah. it's, you know, I think the people that are sort of taking umbrage with this... know that actually it isn't virtue signalling. These colours don't mean anything, but it's a very, very easy way to whip up some anger in a tedious and frankly damaging culture war, and we're seeing more and more of it, and it's just a big shame.
The England kit is now a culture war.
Well, the funny thing, the thing I find amusing about it is it feels like it's, you know, the colours have elicited a reaction in those dickheads because it, you know, it points to, mm-hmm. I suppose, other issues where they're quite strident on, you know, unreasonably strident on. But I think it was also triggered by Nike's tweet about it.
Yeah.
Where they referred to it as a playful update.
Yeah, that was a bit sloppy.
And on the colour to unite and inspire. But to my mind, those types of people read playful and they were, oh, I don't want anything playful in our country. And also the idea of, like, to unite and inspire being something that has been used to bring communities together is exactly the kind of thing they dislike.
Divide and conquer.
To
Which
a point,
is ridiculous, because that is the whole point of an international football season.
Exactly, yeah.
Bring back Umbro. Hey, Andy?
There's
some of the comments under that, like, night. I suppose it wasn't a clarification tweet, it was an explaining tweet. Yeah. But some of the comments being like, well done, we won't be buying this. And I was like, mate, do you know how few people actually buy a New England kit? Yeah, worry about it. They're not that worried.
At full price, certainly.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I was like, you're an idiot.
By the way, just in case anybody's not sure of the admin, this kit was conceived 2 years ago. The FA did sign it off. So they are complicit. And if they were to kind of go, all right, we'll recall them and then send out a load, it would probably take about 6 to 9 months, apparently. Yeah. So this is what we've got.
So it's like it or lump it, or all the England players wear a neck brace when they're wearing their away kit, basically.
Yeah, it's a good idea, Andy. And I think that's a snood. No doubt these people would love to bring the snood back. Anyway, we're getting off the topic. England versus Brazil tomorrow. It's a big one. Brazil have a new manager, Dorival Jr. He has been their new manager since January. Did you see the interview that he did in The Guardian?
I did. It was very...
I loved it.
Very frank, yeah. He's a really interesting character. Seems very happy to be there, but also really, really sort of straight-talking and emotionally quite honest. There's some really revealing stuff in there. He said there's something like between 1,500 and 1,600 Brazilian players playing away from Brazil now, which is an extraordinary number, isn't it? Really, really extraordinary. And talked about how the national team is very, very different from how it used to be.
He says this has been going on for 10 years or more.
Exactly, yeah.
He's not suddenly realised this.
And how, you know, when the players come back to play for Brazil, they play the game and then they're off back to their clubs, obviously, because they have to be. So, you know, they're not around when the impact of the national team is happening anymore. He's not criticising anybody, etc. But it was a really sort of honest and frank explanation.
I think he's saying, if you look at what we just talked about, Wales there, trying to galvanise everybody, and we've seen this with a number of teams. If he's trying to do that, he's maybe thinking, okay, there are things. I mean, Eddie Jones said this about the England rugby team. He said that any rugby team that he's managed before, he knew that there were certain touch points. He was like, oh yeah, I can start talking about this, or there's this kind of strand of chat, or whatever you want to say. And he found the England team, the hardest to try and kind of get a sense of that Englishness. Now, we know in England
we should also clarify, Eddie Jones is the bell end.
Yeah, fine, but he's an incredibly prominent figure in the sport of rugby and has reached a couple of rugby World Cup finals. But yes, there's no doubt what you just said. I'm not.
It's the only thing England and Australia can agree on. And I think it comes from a place of just having no empathy whatsoever.
Oh yeah.
Whereas I don't think Dorival comes off in that way.
No, I don't either.
I would disagree.
To finish my point is that, you know, sometimes it can be quite difficult. I mean, you say about the players. Look at Andres Pereira. I'm, you know, Fulham midfielder, of course. Mm. I don't think he's even lived in Brazil. He grew up in Belgium, actually, but he chose to play for Brazil. So perhaps in some of the more traditional ways of trying to bring a squad together emotionally or whatever, maybe he's sort of suggesting that. I don't...
Yeah, you get players like Endrick, like, leaving as teenagers. Vinicius Jr. left really young, didn't he?
I think he's creating a massive rod for his own back here. Because the thing is, he's come to power basically because Carlo Ancelotti kind of left them in the lurch. They thought they were getting in for ages. And so they've gone for this, I guess, like the CBF would say, unity candidate. Mm-hmm. But he's honestly, like, probably about, what, third, fourth, fifth choice. And he set himself up on, yeah, we need to be more Brazilian. We need to pick more homegrown players. And like the way that football works, that's just totally impossible.
What he said. No, but
you're talking about one interview.
Okay, so
I'm talking about every single press conference that he's given before right. and since mm-hmm. taking the job, which is we need to be more Brazilian. We need to have more home-based players. It's like how?
So is he touching on a bit of a political point there? Is this almost like a manifesto? You know, a pointer in terms of something that he's decided to bring to the table.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit of favour.
And well. I think it's really interesting because Brazil, I think, are in quite a bad place at the moment.
Well, that's what he's addressing.
Yeah, but he's part of that. He's part of that.
Yeah, just joined them, Andy.
No, but the fact that he's got the job is like really a manifestation of the fact that
is
they're
not in a
great place.
Is he the big Sam of Brazil, do you know? Well, it might be the Southgate of Brazil. Well, but I mean, he's, you know, despite being called Junior, he's 61 years old. And he's been a manager for many, many years. He was a player beforehand, never played for the Seleção, but he had a respectable playing career. Obviously, manager of many, many, many teams. He's managed most of the big clubs in Brazil. And he said that when he goes into this job, he feels like he's all of those jobs and everything has kind of propelled him into this. Anyway, so it bodes well for Brazil that England have got injuries. Bukayo Saka is out of the squad completely.
Yep.
I can't help but look at Mikel Arteta and think, what are you scheming here?
It might be like William Saliba's toe injury. Gabriel's out as well.
Ben White didn't fancy it.
You know how like Gianluca Vialli used to fine the Chelsea players if they didn't wear sliders in the shower?
Do you reckon,
like, because, you know, if you could damage your feet, do you reckon for the last week before international break, all the coaches are like, yeah, just barefoot this week, lads.
Yeah, no aftershave though. Remember?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah, Declan Rice had to pull out with a verruca.
Well, Harry Kane has twisted his ankle, and he is unlikely to start against Brazil. It's fair.
I like that. There's none of this cynicism for Saint Harry.
Well, he's there, isn't he?
Threw himself into the post theatrically.
What was very amusing is how the sporting director of Bayern, Christoph Freund, he was asked about it after the game against Darmstadt where he injured himself last week. And he's like, we're in constant contact with the English FA about Harry's condition at the moment. And it was hilarious because, of course, Bayern are used to ruling the roost. And they're like, we're in a situation, actually, where we have the England captain, he was saying, reading between the lines, where actually we've got no influence on this. They're going to do what they fucking like. And if he wants to play, he's going to play and there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, that's why he's St. Harry. Mm. And I don't know any other Arsenal players currently plotting their trade who have got a statue either.
No.
Did you see the images have been finally released of this statue that was supposed to be installed at Chingford Station? Is Chingford in London or Essex?
It's East London.
It's East London, yeah. We talked about this before.
Probably in the hinterland where it's a little bit of both.
What do you think of the statue?
I think it looks like it has been created to frighten children as an example of the man that will come and get you if you eat too much chocolate.
Yeah.
Because he looks like he's made of chocolate in this.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
And he's massive.
He looks a little. The head looks a little bit Van Hal.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
If Harry Kane doesn't start, who would you fancy?
Well, this is interesting because the week before I returned from India, I very much enjoyed the quite colourful debate had here between maybe yourself and Luke, or maybe between Luke and himself. About
the colours were just white and red, to be clear. No virtue signalling here.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But it was essentially around how Watkins should get the nod because of what he's done this season.
That was Luke's argument,
definitely.
And a very, very understandable.
Totally. I kind of agree with that, actually. I do prefer Ivan Toney, but I do think, actually, Watkins has shown us something, not so much with his goals, actually, but maybe more with his link-up play, what he's double-figure assists in the league, isn't he, at the moment?
He's all across it.
Yeah. And he clearly has gone up a level for Villa, and he's a large part of the reason why they are fighting for that Champions League spot. I think it's... this is actually quite a big deal. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily put too much stock in friendlies, but with someone like Harry Kane out, this is basically the clearest indication we're going to get in terms of the, you know, who is the alternate for a key position.
Yep.
And I think on current form, it should be Watkins.
But is this really important? Because to me,
I think it is important for South because it's Southgate having to make a clear cut decision.
Yeah. I think it's a big decision, Andy. I see your point, but the fact is, Kane is going to play in the Euros. There are much bigger questions in terms of defence and midfield,
which they've got
very little time to work out.
Okay,
I would also say if we come to a situation in the summer where Harry Kane gets injured and can't play a couple of games, my first choice would be come home.
All right.
And in lieu of that, you know,
delay the tournament.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Saka's not playing, Jim. Who would you like to see flanking Watkins or Tony?
That is a good question.
Phil Foden presumably would be one of them.
Yeah,
but do you switch him onto the right?
I was hoping to see that front three of Kane in the middle, Saka on the right, and Foden on the left. So I'd be sad to see Foden on the right because we know he can play there, but would. Presumably in the tournament, if everyone's fit, he'd start on the left. So, wouldn't mind see Jared Bowen giving a go there. Possibly Cole Palmer. I think probably Palmer, actually, because I think with Palmer, if you're going to play him, you're going to have to shoehorn him in some way at the moment.
I mean, Palmer's down as a midfielder.
He is, but I think his form demands inclusion. So actually, this is a really good opportunity to get a look at him.
Mm. James Maddison is obviously in there as well. Some people would love to see him. I think Bowen would be played off the right if he was going to play. You know when you get a feeling about a player, Andy, and I think there are some players who, doesn't matter what they're doing for the club, whether they're playing well or okay, but they put on the national team jersey and suddenly it sort of really, really happens. I wonder if Anthony Gordon might be someone like that.
Yeah, a little bit.
Even though he's playing very well for his club. No, because he's a prominent player for Newcastle. Yeah, not that Verizon himself, but do you know what I mean? What do you think? Do you think maybe we could see Anthony Gordon at some point?
But Gordon has been really, really good this season.
Again, I stress that for club, I think
he feels to me like a bit of Southgate as well. Because he's extremely useful when he hasn't got the ball as well.
That's exactly it.
He's an absolute pain in the arse. Other players hate him, and you can see why.
Not his teammates. They like him, presumably.
You guess so.
Now they like him, this season.
So the other questions are, Joe Gomez has been speaking quite a bit about his time when he was previously in the England squad and obviously got that injury and he's come back. And a player that I'd kind of forgotten about, obviously there was that ruckus with Raheem Sterling, but that seems like water under the bridge, especially Sterling's not even there, but even if he was, I don't think that would matter. A lot of injuries. Could we see him starting any of these? Because a number of years ago, Stones and Gomez looked like the two for England. Now, you are going back a number of years here, so perhaps it's not even worth saying that. I think if we were to see Stones maybe go into the midfield, whether that happens or not, I think that Southgate has got Gomez as a centre-half in mind, much more than a fullback, even though he's played fullback more for Liverpool. Perhaps you might disagree, though.
Maybe. I think if we're talking about pushing Stones into midfield, we're getting into the area of risk that maybe... Yeah. Southgate doesn't fully embrace, like seeing it from his perspective.
So you think Gomez would be cover then at the back?
Yeah, maybe.
Where?
I think in terms of this, well, I think you've got the option, haven't you? Mm. I think to see Gomez play and play well would be really good for England.
Yep.
Because he's in great form at the moment.
Yeah.
He's in really great form at the moment. And I think with all the defensive issues that England have got in terms of form and fitness, getting him in, making him feel important and part of it, I think he's really a key part of this international break.
Yeah, and England are playing Belgium, of course, on Tuesday.
Yeah,
so there is another
two
game.
Huge
there.
Games.
And Belgium are no mugs. I think we're all looking at Brazil thinking that's obviously the glamorous one, which it is. But as I say, Belgium is not...
Belgium are arguably better than Brazil at the moment.
There you go. There you go. All right, everybody, coming up in the second half, we've got France versus Germany. Oh, and San Marino will be with you in just a moment.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Good morning, Glenn!
Can you tell us something your mum doesn't know?
Yeah.
Right, welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Andy Brassel, read that email, damn you.
I've got one from Alex Lovelace here. It says, one for the absolute football nerds like myself. Why am I reading this out? I emailed a few years ago providing a rare occurrence of Luke Moore actually liking a listener's idea to change football. A World Cup for teams outside the top 100 in the world ranking. I wanted to let you know that FIFA are actually doing something kind of similar during the current international break. Mm. This week sees the FIFA series taking place. Oh, my God. In various places around the world for the first time, with six mini tournaments happening between a bunch of unfashionable countries. Bring on Bolivia versus Andorra, Azerbaijan versus Mongolia, and Guinea versus Vanuatu, or sit with England versus Brazil in Euro playoffs. But hey, at least there's a few more options for matches to watch this weekend.
How about that? Yeah, this is an interesting one. FIFA. The FIFA series is a new competition designed to give national teams more opportunities to play against opponents from outside their respective confederations. So there's 24 national teams involved playing across five different countries. All six federations are involved. And where the host nations are Algeria, Azerbaijan, Egypt, Saudi Arabia A, Saudi Arabia B, and Sri Lanka.
Whee!
Whee! Yeah. So in Sri Lanka's group, they've got Bhutan, which is not that far away, but still, you know, nice to have a bit of local rivalry in there. Central African Republic and Papua New Guinea.
Brilliant. Bring them on.
It's like FIFA have looked at the lower leagues of the UEFA Nations League and gone, oh, we want some of that.
Well, do you think that the Egypt one is quite tasty? You've got Croatia, Egypt, New Zealand and Tunisia.
It's a strange one, that.
I'm describing that as tasty.
It feels like a World Cup group. Yeah. Like a weird World Cup group, but it does.
It's just what the world needs. More competitive international football. More competitive football. Yeah.
What I find strange, though, Andy, in Saudi Arabia A and Saudi Arabia B, Saudi Arabia aren't playing.
Really? Is that right?
Why, they've got Cambodia, Cape Verde, Equatorial Guinea, Guyana, Bermuda, Brunei, Guinea and Vanuatu.
That's so you're going to say, why was it there? You know why it's there.
Yeah.
Because it can be there.
I mean, basically, we can talk about the ties and the content, but it's not about any of that. This is just the FIFA versus UEFA willy-waving contest for which the general public and the players are paying the bill, and it's pretty disgusting.
What a shame. Well, was it... it's not always disgusting when you see two minnows playing each other in a friendly, Andy.
No, it's not. But this isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about not the actual... It's like the Super League. We're not talking about the tournament itself. We're talking about the right to brand football, the right to own football, and to hell with the consequences of the people who watch it and play it.
Sure, I was trying to segue to San Marino versus St. Kitts.
Okay, though. I'm sorry for shitting on that. I'm not that sorry.
Yeah, St. Kitts and Nevis this week, yes. Despite going into the game as favourites, San Marino lost. Oh, everyone was really up for this. They thought there was a big chance. 137 matches without a win now. They do have another bite of the cherry against St. Kitts and Nevis again.
But they're angered at the football gods.
On
I mean,
Sunday
they did all these interviews and
yeah, what was that about?
Going, oh, we're going to win for the first time in 10 years.
Silly.
Why would you do that if you haven't won in 10 years?
Sit down, you little mugs.
If you are San Marino, like, you just... You can't possibly have any idea of what your level is, right?
No.
And they've really fallen afoul of that there.
Yeah, very strange. They do, as I say, though, they've got them again. So was that a rematch option? If we lose, then we immediately trigger the rematch option. I don't know. France versus Germany, Saturday evening. This summer's hosts are travelling to Lyon to face France.
I think the interesting thing about France is not only... France and England quite difficult to separate in terms of who's favourite for the tournament, but a lot of the personnel problems that England have are similar to the personnel problems that France have at the moment.
I just think that
so basically we might as well not analyse this. Let's just talk about Kane, Bellingham, Mbappe, and call it a day.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear you say that, because I always think about France, and I mean the World Cup was testament to this, is that they have some big players injured. And then they just are, all right, okay, who's next? And they just kind of slot in. And
but it's form as well. So, like, Gareth Southgate always gets talked about because of his conservatism. In a similar way, Didier Deschamps, it's like all international coaches, really. They're all conservative with a small c to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really want to turn over. He wants to be loyal to people. And he's got his Harry Maguire question, if you like, because Dayo Upamecano is really not having a good season for Bayern. They've got a lot of defensive issues as well.
Good.
So they're in a similar place. Having said that, Germany really need to get their ducks in a row to put even a decent display together at this tournament. I mean, they're not winning Euro 2024. They're definitely not winning Euro 2024.
He's written off the Germans. Mm. Although, in recent years, that's not
But the Germans aren't the Germans. Definitely not with a capital T and a capital G at the moment.
Oh, I didn't think they would be.
No.
Because that was the thing, wasn't it? Never write off the Germans.
Indeed.
But then, of course, you know. But
look what we're doing. It's on home soil. They want to, you know, they want to bring back the feel-good factor of 2006, the World Cup that they hosted there.
Not so much that they're appointing Jürgen Klinsmann's coach.
No, of
get Klinsy in, but they didn't win that tournament, so Andy's point still stands.
Yeah. No, true, but they are in a sort of set of doldrums that we've not seen Germany in our lifetime.
No, I think that's fair to say, yeah.
So I think Germany can have a successful tournament without winning it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think
that makes a lot of sense.
Euro 96 almost.
No, I think if they were to replicate that sort of glorious failure of World Cup 2006, everyone would be very happy with that.
Fischer's got a smirk on his face.
Well, they did win Euro 96.
I know, from the English perspective, of course.
I find it quite funny that Tony Cruz has come back because I feel like players of that ilk, when they walk away, like, thank you for all your service.
My work here is
all
done.
All the things you've accomplished. And the idea that they had to, you know, in some way go back to him and be like, mate, we've got nothing. You've left a chasm that actually is your fault and you have to come back and fill, mate. Yeah. So
Stefan Effenberg's on the phone.
Yeah, he's probably still banned, isn't he?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Jürgen,
for everyone's sake, I hope so.
Jürgen, turn on the video on your Zoom, for fuck's sake.
One of the other problems for Germany is that there's been some criticism of their new pink away kit, which was revealed last week. Uli Hoeneß has had his say on this. He said, all these things are nonsense. They can even play with a naked torso and something painted on.
Very, very liberal
views.
Vague.
A pink away kit is that would be Germany's equivalent of what we spoke about in the in the England kit.
I think it's quite nice.
Yeah, well, it's a colour. It's a colour.
Yeah,
why are people angry at colours?
Well, Jim, don't get me started on pink. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, literally, it's
what are the acceptable colours now?
All of them.
Nah, you would say that.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, typically.
Not at once.
No. Email in not if you've got an, you have to give us a colour. We can tell
I
if it's
can't
acceptable.
Can't stand the colour blue. Yeah,
I mean, obviously Germany are enamoured with it enough that they announced yesterday that they're defecting from Adidas to Nike.
They did, didn't they?
But there you go.
Yeah. The advert for the Germany kit is brilliant though, because it kind of riffs on the typical, oh, this is a typical German kit, and
is that right?
The whole advert goes through about like all the things that are
good.
Now typical Germany that are actually atypical Germany, that kind of stuff. It's brilliant. Yeah.
Well, let's turn our attention to France because Thierry Henry said this week about Kylian Mbappe has already surpassed my legacy. But Antoine Griezmann, or Griezmann, should I say, is by far the most underrated player ever.
Ever is big, isn't it? But I
he's very underrated.
He is my favourite non-Vardy footballer. yep, Antoine Griezmann. Uh-huh. He's brilliant to watch, and he scores loads of goals. He's, you know, he's been very successful. But I think Henri's right. You know, I don't think he's kind of put in the top bracket of world footballers very often, and he absolutely belongs there.
I was going to throw this to you, Andy, because the thing I've been confused about recently is why France are in, and maybe it comes from, you know, what's happened in the last couple of tournaments, but I don't understand why suddenly French football is having this legacy conversation about these players. Like, what is it, because like someone like Griezmann's coming to the end of his career, or it's feel like the generation's about to move on?
It's because, I think, it's as simple as the fact that you've got three at the top of the top scorers list of all time. So you've got Olivier Giroud, and they're all buzzing around Thierry Henry, of course. Griezmann could go up there for a little bit, and you know that Mbappe's going to go past everyone all in time. So it's very unusual to have an all-time top scorers list for a nation where it's keenly contested by three players at the same time, all sort of moving around one of the absolute legends of the French game, who's still very much a presence, because, of course, he's France under 21 manager. So we're talking about on OTC.
So we're basically not too far away from a LeBron, Michael Jordan situation where they'll surpass it unequivocally, and then Henri will bring out the documentary. Everyone will be like, oh, and actually, he was the best. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Right, gentlemen, I want to turn our attention to Scotland. They travel to the Netherlands. They're playing this evening. Now, get a load of this. 41-year-old goalkeeper Craig Gordon has been recalled to the squad. He's not appeared for Scotland since November 2022. It's Pepe-esque.
Yeah, he's not going to play, though, is he?
Yeah, that's true. Pepe was involved in Portugal's 5-2 demolition of Sweden last night.
Of course he
was. I don't know, sometimes it's nice to have an older head in there, wouldn't you say, Andy?
Oh, well, especially if it's Pepe's head.
How are the Netherlands looking, brass man?
All right, but the interesting thing is the return of Memphis Depay, who's
come back.
Oh, well, it's always interesting.
Did you see the coat he was wearing? Because when they came into the Dutch camp, they had the new kit in a briefcase, and they were all looking through it, and he's wearing the most outstanding like brown leather coat. It's remarkably good.
Really?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not the most controversial thing he's done this week, with his public support for a convicted drug smuggler, Quincy Promise.
Blimey. Well, to give Memphis a bar fair crack of the whip, though, he did score a crucial goal for Atletico Madrid in their advancement in the Champions League.
I tell you what, he looks buff at the moment, doesn't he?
When does he not?
I think it's because he's one of those players who's been out injured for quite a long time. He's clearly spent all of that time in the gym. You know when a player is out injured quite a lot, and it has a weirdly transformative effect on them. A little bit like Nicolò Zaniolo, for example.
He's always had the sort of Grealishy thighs, hasn't he, Depay? Sort of underrated,
yes, that's
kind
true.
Of calf
that's
monster.
True. Yeah.
Because he always wears really short shorts.
Yeah.
He's really proud of them.
Well, those tattoos. He's got tattoos on his legs, hasn't he?
Everywhere.
He's got a very, very cute dog as well.
If Ricardo Quaresma and Memphis Depay had a fight, Andy, who would you cheer on?
Ooh, good one.
Is it a free kick fight?
No, just a fight to
win my heart.
Yeah, yes.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Who would you want to win your heart?
Oh, Ricardo, 100%.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
I thought
kick to the head with the outside of the boot. Knockout.
Yeah, that would be it, wouldn't it? Well, okay. So, with Scotland in their sort of current trajectory, would you fancy them to cause it would be an upset, of course, against the Netherlands?
Winless in five. So,
yeah, I forgot about that bit of the trajectory. that's good to point out. But no, they're in a fairly sort of good moment. This is a good chance for them to test themselves against the better side. Now, Ronald Koeman celebrated his 61st birthday yesterday, which is lovely, I think we can all agree. He said, the players sang to me and gave me a nice cap. They obviously think that I'm at an age where I need to keep my head warm. If I could have a perfect late present, it would be the Euros on July the 14th.
Like him,
very late.
Him saying he's going to win the Euros. Dorival Jr. saying Brazil are going to win the World Cup. What are these guys drinking this week?
Well, I don't know, Andy. But if your birthday is in March, mid-July, the people have forgotten your birthday.
Too late, yeah.
Also,
it's like wishing someone Happy New Year now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
With what footballers earn, they had a whip round and they got him a cap.
Oh, but it could have been a gold cap.
Good point. I didn't think of that. I didn't think of the gold cap. Yeah. Sorry, I'll get back in my box.
No, I'm thinking a sort of Hat FM kind of business.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that...
They all arriving from around the country, all into the same airport, and they're like, fucking hell, we forgot. What do we get?
I don't know. I think...
A cap and a Toblerone. Here you go.
Yeah, but they love a cap in international football, so they're just, you know, channeling that kind of spirit, aren't they?
Right, so it was lying around.
Yeah. Quickly, so just grab anything. This looks like it's a commemorative cap of the 1974.
Yeah. They'd be wearing it on the touchline like Jack Charlton at USA 94. Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. Do you think he'll be wearing it so that they don't get offended that he doesn't like the present? You know, like when you get something from someone, you only wear it when they're around.
Quite possibly. Right, before we get to the Ramble Acca, Jim, looks like you've got an email in your hand.
I do have an email in my hand, and it's an important update on matters happening stateside from McCain Williams. He says, hello, Ramblers, specifically Marcus, you'll see why. With European club football on international break, I want to bring to light some news from US club football.
Ooh.
The US Open Cup has started back up this season with a bit of controversy. MLS decided to only send a handful of first teams to the tournament, despite it being an American footballing tradition that started in 1914, and instead send their development teams, for example, Portland Timbers 2.
Well. The plot thickens.
On Tuesday night, Portland Timbers 2 took the pitch with Harvey Neville in the starting 11.
Yeah.
Harvey was sent off for a second yellow in the 53rd minute, and Portland Timbers 2 lost 2-1 to El Farolito SC, an amateur team from San Francisco who are named after a popular burrito restaurant in the area. We'd be like if Spurs under 21s lost to Nando's FC. This is incredible. And like I've looked into El Farolito FC a little bit, as I'm sure we all have if we've done our own work.
Yeah.
And they are essentially an amateur team, and yeah. they train a couple of times a week. Mm. Sometimes they can't train exactly as they want to because they get to the place they've hired and someone else is there. They travel around from all over the place, train after work. Yeah. Like they really, really put the work in. Mm. And if they've been handed a little bit of a present by old Fizzer Jr.
Oh dear, he's probably jet lagged. Time distance from zones from Miami to up in the Northwest.
It's a hike, isn't it?
It is. It really is, Andy. And they've shoved him in there. I think it's a bit unfair.
Apparently, the El Farolito bench were chucking balls onto the pitch towards the end of the game to eat up a bit of time.
Amazing.
not burritos.
It's Jose Mourinho.
Well,
they
respect the burrito. They're not going to throw it.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
You know, the funny thing is, a burrito restaurant would probably indulge in less nepotism than Portland Timbers.
Come on.
Well, it's true.
Show some fucking respect.
Right, enough of the disrespect. Let's have some respect for the Football Ramble Acca with Betfair. With Betfair this season, you can build your football accumulators with a 90-minute payout where all winning selections will be paid out at 90 minutes on their match odds 90 markets, regardless of what happens in added time. So today we're building an Acca of four match odds 90 bets from across the weekend's football. Andy, you're up first.
Well, of course, Spain have achieved an incredible amount in the 21st century in football. Now they're going to reach another peak by beating Colombia at West Ham.
And it is at the London Stadium.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, saucy. Jim, what have you got next?
I've gone for France to beat Germany. I think France are arguably the best team in the world. Germany are, not the Germany we've seen so much in the past. So I think even without lovely Antoine Griezmann, they are going to win.
I love how you say arguably the best team in the world because a lot of Argentinians certainly would argue that. Vish, your choice.
I am going for Denmark to beat Switzerland. Their form is broadly similar at the moment, given obviously the last time they played was in November. But Denmark are the stronger team and looking better nick overall. So I'm going with Denmark.
I think Denmark are a stronger team than Switzerland, eh? You won't have any arguments from any Swiss people because that is the tradition there, I think. England versus Brazil. I'll go for an England win. Come on! They're both shandy! So there we are. A £10 bet with Betfair on that returns £102.31. If we win, all that money goes to Prostate Cancer UK. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by some stoppage time drama won't be affected. And that's the same for our Ramble Acca every week. Exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook, T's and C's apply. You've got to be over 18 to get involved. And for more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org. Right, everybody. It's that time again.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
Well, I do, Jack. It's now time for Jack's Encyclopedia. I'm hosting. It's not a title bout, but it's an important league match between Jim, Vish and Andy.
Pointless. Absolutely pointless.
You're not pointless. You're very much in the running for the championship. But of course, the hero of the day, Luke Moore, is not here. So it's a chance for somebody to gain some ground in the league on me. Right. You all know the rules. Jack's Encyclopedia is a game of categories. If you're too slow, Gary Neville will come. Now, let's. It's a pleasure to welcome Vish back to the...
It's Torres!
There you go, in case you're new to this. And if you're new to this, very welcome and thank you for lasting so long, unlike Gary Neville. So, the first category...
Stop talking about him orgasming.
No, I won't.
Constantly, always. And I started the week with this.
Do you remember Fizzer on the beach? Fizzer? Jizzer, more like. Okay, Vish, you're back in the Jackson Encyclopedia arena. How do you feel?
Fine.
Orgasmic? I should think so. First category, Andy Brassel, I want you to start first. So get your thinking caps on. First category. This is a lovely one, and I'm gutted not to be involved. The 22 players that started for both sides in England's last win over Brazil. It ended 2-1 back in February 2013 to mark the 150th anniversary of the Football Association. Andy Brassel. Off you go.
Harry Kane.
It's a bad start. It's a bad start for Brassel. Way too early for Harry Kane. There's a clue. Harry Kane's not involved.
Wayne Rooney.
Of course he was.
Last win over Brazil is the question.
2013, Jim. 2-1 England. Come on.
Oh, God, I've written down a load of players that probably weren't involved. Joe Hart.
Love that.
Come Frank on. Lampard.
Frankie Lampard, he's our mate. Did not play, did not play. We didn't start. He didn't start.
Neymar?
Is Neymar the winning answer of this round? It is. Jim gets the point. You could have had...
What a round.
Adriana Carrera, Ashley Cole, Chris Smalling, Danny Alves, Danny Welbeck, Dan Che, David Luiz, Gary Cahill, Glenn Johnson, Jack Wilshere, Julio Cesar, Luis Fabiano, Oscar, Paulinho, Ramirez, Ronaldinho, Steven Gerrard, Theo Walker or Tom Cleverley.
Steven Gerrard.
A lot of guessable.
I'll tell you what, I'd love to see Gary Cahill play.
Yeah, I bet you would, you dirty little sausage. Right, Vish, you're up first. Now... Kobbie Mainoo was, of course, called up this week. He's 18 years old. But which England players have made their debuts 18 years or younger? 20 answers. And again, I'm gutted I'm not involved, although I did lose on England the other week. Vish.
Wayne Rooney.
Second youngest, 17 years and 3 months. Jim Campbell. Really obvious when you've got the answers in front of you.
I bet it is, yeah. There's one I'm hovering around, but I think it might be a sort of red herring in my own mind.
It's Torres!
I'm going to say it, Theo Walcott.
Youngest.
Wow.
Yeah. Andy?
So made their debut at 18. Specifically
have made their debuts
18.
18 years or younger.
18 or younger, okay, cool.
It's Torres!
Billy Wright.
Who?
Billy Wright?
Billy Wright. Fair guess, but a wrong one. Vitushin.
Michael Owen.
Michael Owen's a good answer. Very, very an good obvious guess. Answer, but a good one. Jim Campbell. You need Vish to win, Andy, to stay in the game.
Okay.
So get behind him.
I think Andy wants Jim to win.
Jim Campbell.
Should be really obvious, shouldn't it? Mm. I'm sure there's... I'm going to go for Gary Neville.
Gary Neville? Odd choice, very odd choice.
Well, I don't think it is an odd choice. He started for England very young.
Not young enough, though. Vish has the point.
Yeah.
Let me go through them. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, Arthur Brown, Callum Hudson-Odoi, Clement Mitchell, Duncan Edwards, Jack Wilshere, Jadon Sancho, James Prinsep, Jimmy Brown, Jude Bellingham, Luke Shaw, Marcus Rashford, Mason Greenwood, Micah Richards, Raheem Sterling, Rico Lewis, and Tot Rostrum, known as Tot because he was 5'6". It's easy when you've got the answers in front of you, ladies and gentlemen.
There's only a few of those I'm kicking myself over, to be honest.
Oh, look, it's a tough old game. People don't understand what it's like when you're in the chair. Right, it's Jim 1, Vish 1, Andy 0. Andy, you need this to go to the tiebreaker. and I think you can get it. Jim, you're up first.
Yes.
Give me the host cities, not for the Euros, but for World Cup 2026.
Oh, Jesus.
New York.
Yeah, New York, New Jersey, give you that, yeah.
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, the city of angels.
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, you can spread it on the bread.
Mexico City.
Mexico City, of course. Love
Monterey.
To see it. Monterey, bit of cheese.
Kansas.
Kansas.
City.
Lucky, because Kansas is a state, my friend.
Yeah, but you asked for the city.
I did, not the state. People will think I'm being leaning there, but I'm watching you. Jim.
Toronto.
Toronto, yep. Doing very well here, chaps. He needs it.
It's one of two.
It's Torres!
Boston.
Boston. Having a tea party.
Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C. As if the politics would want them there.
Really?
Incorrect. Jim Campbell.
Seattle?
Seattle. He's got it, Andy, to stay in the game and deny Jim a big win.
Oh, that's very good. Montreal.
It's Torres!
Montreal.
Jim Campbell!
Big win for Jim!
And because he's not here, we've finally got a winner who's not Luke Moore.
Yes!
So you could have had Atlanta, home of the Olympic Games, of course. Dallas. Guadalajara. Thought someone was going to go for Guadalajara. Houston.
You where... thought someone was going to go for Guadalajara.
Yeah, because Mexico City and Guadalajara are the two famous venues. Sure. Yeah, okay, fine.
Washington, D.C., not a famous city in America, then.
Not when it comes to football, dickhead.
They have a football team.
Houston, where, unlike Vish, they don't have a problem. At Miami, the home of football. And San Francisco. So there we are, everybody.
San Francisco, the home of football, yeah.
And also in there, the place where Bon Jovi recorded Slippery When Wet, Vancouver. How could we forget? So Jim is the winner. Vish is the loser. Andy, you get a commemorative mug. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. Do join myself, that guy Vish, and Andy tomorrow for the mailbag, where we're answering your questions. And my goodness, we've got some good ones. In the meantime, follow us on X, which is really called Twitter still, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram at Football Ramble. Follow us on Spotify. The keys are in the lock. The weekend is officially open, and it's an international weekend. Come on, what more do you want? Say goodbye, Andy.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Vish.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Goodbye,
and
losers.
And it's goodbye from me.
's a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.